Hi Teresa, how you doing?
Oh, hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Oh my gosh. Right, so why are we here today, Teresa? Are you gonna tell me some So the title of this podcast is Who Cares? And I think that's really important because people in care, you tell me, but, you know, I think there's a real feeling out there at the moment as to who actually cares, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why do you say that?
Well, because I think it's a fight and it's a struggle for everybody. Anyone that's a carer or who is receiving care or is within that system probably ask that question on a daily basis, I would imagine. Because it seems quite limited.
So when you say that system, what are you talking about from your understanding?
I'm talking about the support system that all carers and carer service users, like as in a support group, it seems to me that the support group that they have without any added extra benefits from the government, if they're not informed or aware of them, normally seems it's the community and other carers and service users. In that actual group, it seems so, very limited.
So let's get this right. So there is... within a normal, say, home setting, for example,
yes,
we've got, you know, there is a certain level of care that one would expect within the home, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking about that, are we? We're talking about where there is a need by one or two, however many dependents that it takes, you know, it's taking a lot more. You know, it's like becomes a qualification as you become classified as a carer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Whether you're able-bodied or not, it's not just, it can't be a one-on-one, which is, I think that's, it goes without saying in a remit on most things, isn't it, one-on-one? But you know, if you have family support, then that's a plus. That's just a one plus. And if you have outside support, then that's a another plus one. But that doesn't mean that person that's the carer or the caregiver or care receiver is accessing the community and all that is offered or made available to that person. You can't just rely on one person to give you everything.
Okay, so just thinking about you and your situation, Teresa, mm-hmm. in the sense of, you know, you have a dependent on you, mm-hmm. yeah, and what is that like to have, say, an adult sibling who needs a lot, you know, over and above sort of what an able-bodied, you know, family member would need, when you've got someone with these kind of additional needs? How does that impact you in your life?
Well, I think, you know, if you're able-bodied or not, you'll normally find that there are a lot of people with needs and disabilities or both that actually are a carer too. So I think the longer you're a carer, as in a life course, that you have less and less support and family and friends. And even if you do have that unit, which is absolutely fantastic, it's the empathy and the relativity that is just as important, just to understand your situation, I think, just even just that in itself. So
When you're saying that, are you meaning you think that people in the community just don't have awareness really what it is like for care, let's say unpaid carers, on the basis of it's not professional caring, although I think there's a big toll on even professional carers thinking of
there is, you know. Yeah.
So yeah. Just to be clear, we're talking about sort of unpaid carers as such. Do you think there's a lack of awareness in the community of what it is for a carer?
Yeah, it's not even unpaid carer. Like I said, whether you're able-bodied or not, it's just that you as a carer, full stop. It's just that unit of support, which is very, very important, whether that is community, local councils, charities. It's just about raising awareness, I think, for carers alike.
So do you think there is scope for that to happen? Do you think that there's a need for that awareness to continue to get
absolutely. And even at my age of 56, I didn't realize how much help and offer of support is out there outside of family and friends, and your role as a carer was available, because it seems to me that the majority of it that is available isn't advertised or made informative for easy access for all.
So I've known you for over a decade, but and I know you've had some struggles with providers, some help, you know, and quality of your sibling. When did you hear about something like Carers First?
I think I might have heard about them a few years ago. I didn't realise on what scale they could offer help and support until recently. I was at my wit's end and just felt like I don't know where else to turn, so I'm just going to phone every single number and support group that anyone's ever given me. And that's exactly what I did. I started from the alphabet list, ABC, got onto Carers First. No, absolutely fantastic. And yeah, I can't praise them enough, literally just within one phone call, just for someone literally just to pick up the phone, which I'm hoping that Here to Help can offer as a platform and empathise with you and your roles as a carer and your duties. And, as a giver or receiver, you know, they say even counsellors need counselling. So everyone needs something or would like something, even if it's just an ear for listening and or a chat.
Because you have had engagement with say the adult social care team at the local authority, you know, and they I mean, I'd imagine they're under stress as well, you know, as sort of public sector frontline workers and that sort of thing.
I'm sure.
There does seem to be a need for just something to fill in the gaps, because you'd have thought the information would have passed from maybe the council to you, you know, them knowing you're a carer, but that hasn't happened, has it? So
no, I'm not quite sure what they actually offer as a service and as today, with all due respect to the professional bodies that have been involved so far. I think that the best support we've actually had is from as I said, like-minded carers, local communities, and local MPs. I'll be honest with you, who've had the most input and the most impact.
it just sounds so complicated, because it sounds as if there is funding available, but it's getting that funding into the right hands at the right time, isn't it? And
absolutely, you know, everyone wants an advocate, and there are advocates out there that can help you, and I'm hoping that the majority of them would be mentioned on the Here to Help platform for people like myself.
Different services, absolutely.
Because it's not as if you contact social services or the local council you don't know what questions to ask. You know, you might not have done caring before, so you might just want to, you know, to ring and say, hello, I'm a carer. I've just just had a family member live with me, or as an example, don't know where to go, don't know what to do. It's, you know, what help is there to help us and make this as easy a journey as possible for both of us or for all involved?
One of the challenges that I've heard by people who are involved in getting funding for carers is that a lot of people don't even realise they are a carer. So was there a moment in time when you realised you were suddenly a carer for your sister, or did you always feel like you were a carer, or was there a moment in time when you realised, hang on, this isn't right, I need some extra help? How did that work out?
Yeah, good question. So I can remember back as young as being four, maybe five, I think, you know, like just being with Julie all the time, like just holding her hand. Yeah, you know, whether it was in church at Sunday school, my mum saying, you look after your sister, you know, I'm looking after your brother and sister, or so Julie's always been there that I'm aware of. And even when I left home and moved away, I used to see her on a regular basis, but didn't realise that that I had that caring role until my mum used to say, oh, well, you know, I'm not just Julie's mum, I'm Julie's carer. And I said, oh, why are you calling yourself a carer? You're her mum. Not realising that they're different roles, or could be for many people altogether.
And to know that one is a carer, is that in a way is a bit like a diagnosis in a way? It's a bit like a relief that you know that you're entitled to some help, right? In theory,
fundamentally, physically and mentally, yes, it's just as important for the carer as the, you know, the giver and the receiver to be in top form, and good health, absolutely. Because you know, if you're a carer, you have to be complice mentis for you to give that good care as much and as best as you possibly can, for the receiver to receive as much and as best as they possibly can.
So it's having a sustainable environment where everyone's basic needs are met, and
absolutely
the state recognizes that, you know, families or people in this situation need that additional support. But what you've experienced the fact that you've struggled with getting that support, is that right?
Yeah, of course the state recognises that, because they on top of their budgets, of course they understand that and they recognise that. You know, they're only too pleased to anyone to become a carer, and for someone to withdraw from the system that costs them on average £1,500 a week, so they can go back to living with families or friends or relatives or anyone that would like to take on that role, that 24/7, 365 a year role, for less than £5 a day. Of course they are, absolutely.
But what I'm saying is no one should be doing that for 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365, without any financial support. That shouldn't, you know, the law, the...
They all go hand in hand, the financial, the mental and the physical, all three of them, whether you're a paid carer or not, if you're a family member, if you're a carer, a giver, receiver, if you know someone that's doing it, everyone who's anyone says, wow, your job, I don't envy you.
All right, Teresa, that's been a really nice sort of starting point for a podcast. I'm hoping people who listen to that are able to sort of resonate with some of the issues that you've just raised, but you've got plenty more to talk about, so we'll do that on another session. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Take care.
You're welcome, and you. Thank you. Lovely speaking to you.
As always.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks, Sophie.
Plenty more. Bye now.
Bye now.